so far I've seen. The sun sets deep, rising over seas into sky, and find the universe set inside of all.
We're good. Morning, everybody. We'll be starting a little bit later than we intended with some music, and then Ryan will come up and we'll have a little bit more music, and then Ryan Lidstone's with us this morning.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great and awesome is He! Together we sing.
Is filled with His glory.
Brian.
Well, hi, friends. As we come to the table this morning, I want to just read to you a couple of verses, a few verses here from Romans chapter 5, just to direct our hearts and direct our thoughts as we consider communion this morning, taking bread, taking wine, and remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. In Romans chapter 5, it says this: "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will one die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." There are lots of different ways that people through the centuries and the millennia have tried to show people their love. A young man might consider flowers for a young lady to show her his love. Chocolate, I've heard, is a good way as well. Maybe jewelry is a good way. A chocolate, I've heard, is a good way. Possibly someone might even, young man might want to show his love for this young woman by writing her a poem, comparing her love to chocolate or something like that. And so we have tried different ways to show love for people. This passage tells us how God showed his love for us, but God demonstrates, he shows his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I know the depths of the evil that lurks within me. I know and am painfully aware of the sin that I have committed. The Lord knows the sin I will commit. And yet, he loved us so much that he would send his son, the Lord Jesus, to die in our place so that we might be saved from the wrath of God. It is no wonder that Jesus wanted us to over and over again come and do this in remembrance of me. He took some bread and he took some wine, some grape juice. And with these two symbols, these two elements, he pictured for us the depths of his love and the depth of the cost for our salvation. And so Christians for 2,000 years have done what we're going to do this morning. They've taken some bread and they've broken it to remember Jesus' body broken for us. They've taken some grape juice and with it remembered the blood of the Lord Jesus. This is something that we believe Scripture teaches is for Christians. So if you've joined us this morning and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus yet, you just came across this live stream feed and you decided you wanted to check it out and see what it was about, we would invite you just to watch and observe what we're doing. But if you love the Lord Jesus, if you have made a decision to follow him, if you call him your Lord and Savior, this is something that he wants us to do. And so we would invite you to take some bread now and take a moment to reflect. Scripture tells us to examine ourselves. So do that now with me. We'll just take about 30 seconds to examine our hearts, to thank the Lord quietly for all that Jesus did for us when he offered his body on the cross. Father God, we take this bread now and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he's done for us. And we take this to remember his sacrifice for us. In the same way Jesus took the cup and he blessed it, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. There's a new way to approach God. It's only through Christ, this new covenant. And this grape juice reminds us of the blood that Jesus shed. And it reminds us that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So let's again just pause and reflect on what Jesus has done for us. Father God, we thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his blood that was shed for us on the cross. We take this cup now to remember him, to remember all that he's done for us, and to remind ourselves of your great love for us that you showed when you sent your son, Jesus, to die in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. Amen. Well, we're glad that you've joined us this morning at Island Bible Chapel. We're excited to have Ryan Lidstone here with us. Ryan's going to share from the Word of God. We do have a few announcements before we begin. We just wanted to let people know about some of our birthdays this past week. Nora Fairburn had a birthday, and so we want to say happy birthday to Nora. I saw some pictures on Instagram this week from that, and I saw some pictures from Tolbert Stinson's birthday. So happy birthday, Tolbert. We're glad you're with us. Thank you so much. And want to let you know about some of the things that we have going this week. It's a busy week at Island Bible Chapel. Even though the facility is closed and our on-site ministries have stopped, our mission continues to move forward. And so the first thing we want you to know is Wednesday night, we'll be having our regular prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. You can find it live streamed on Facebook and YouTube, maybe, if the technology works on Wednesday. And the second thing that we have this week, you know that this was supposed to be Spring Folly weekend coming up. But because we've had to cancel all on-site activities, we didn't want to just drop Spring Folly. And so we will be live streaming to Spring Folly's YouTube page, and we will do that on Friday. So please tune in from 7 to 9. We've got some old friends from Spring Folly who'll be joining us to say hi. We'll be giving away lots of prizes, and we are thrilled that Logan Gates from Ravi Zacharias International Ministries has agreed to come and to virtually and to share with us a message of hope for the teenagers. Now, the good news is that I did have someone who was an alumni from Spring Folly who said, well, wait, you mean alumni can come this year? The answer is yes, alumni can tune in too. Anyone can tune in. It's a public live stream. So that's on Friday. And also want to remind people that you can still give your offerings and your tithes to Island Bible Chapel if you go to islandbiblechapel.com/donate. All the instructions are there for how to do that. I'm going to call Joel back up to share one final song, and then we'll just invite Ryan right up. Then after Joel, he's no stranger to us, and I'm sure he'll give us a little update on what's going on at Camp Oshpakum.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. Let we'll see how great is our God. Names to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead the Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
All right, Ryan. Good morning. It is good to be here this morning. And I'll admit that as I was planning this year out and different speaking engagements I'd get to do, as I penciled IBC in, this is not exactly what I expected. Expected to be coming to a room full of people. And I was expecting to give you all an update for ABK, the plans we have this summer, what registration's looking like and all those different things. But things have changed. And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here even with you virtually. And I'm glad to still give you an update on what's happening at camp and what we are thinking about and looking forward to for this summer. So this summer at camp would have been our 60th anniversary summer. And regardless of how we spend it, whether or not we run camp as we've known it, whether or not we run some kind of alternative program, whether or not we run it all, I know it's still something that we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate it because this represents 60 years of watching God provide for ABK through so many different ways, through finances, through volunteers, through sending campers, and everything in between. When you think about 60 years of camp ministry and 60 years of what's happening on the shores of Sugar Lake, that represents tens of thousands of lives impacted by the gospel through the camping ministry. Tens of thousands of people who have come through the gates over the years, campers, staff, enjoying their time at camp and getting to hear the gospel while doing that. So whether camp happens this summer, I can say with full confidence that God has been so good to us and is continuing to be so good to us through the decisions that we have to make for the summer. Now, with that in mind, I want to ask for three specific things for prayer for camp. And this is my camp update. This is kind of expected that I speak about camp because it's something that obviously is near and dear to my heart. And I want to share with you what is going on with that ministry, because we have several partners across Northern Ontario, different churches partner with us. And this really is a ministry of the local church. So I want to ask for three specific things that we'd like prayer for. The first is wisdom.
In James chapter 1 contains what I would call one of my ministry verses. So one of the verses that I want to lean on in leading a ministry like camp. James is telling the reader that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And this is a time where myself and my wife, as leaders of camp and the board of directors, need that wisdom. We've set a date of May 1st as our go, no-go date. And this is a date that we are going to make a decision as to what summer is going to look like. And that is coming up soon. And we would just appreciate prayers for wisdom in making that decision as we contemplate several different options for camp. And as we contemplate what this summer is going to look like. So the first thing we'd ask for prayer for is wisdom. The second is finances. Camp is heading, like many organizations in Northern Ontario, into maybe a financially difficult time. If we choose not to run in the summer, obviously that is a large chunk of revenue in our camper fees that we won't be seeing this year. And we've already canceled our school trips, which again is a good chunk of revenue. And we will obviously, if we don't run this summer, we will do our best to mitigate expenses, but overhead is overhead. And it stays there whether or not you're running camp in full capacity. And we just want to ask for prayer in camp's finances and also ask for people if they're considering where to give to keep camp in mind. Keep camp in mind through one-time gifts. You can do those on our website, or even if you want to download a monthly donation form. The reason being is obviously we are going to have these still have projects and things we need to do this summer, and we want to keep up with that on the financial side of things. And again, I want to stress that the human part of me wants to worry about finances, because when you're looking at not running for a summer potentially, obviously that's going to make an impact. But I know from seeing how God has provided for camp over the years that we are in good hands, and that God is faithful through all sorts of different trials and storms, and this is one of them. Third thing we'd appreciate prayer for is that we'd see other avenues in which the gospel will reach those in need of hearing it this summer if we don't run. One thing that I love about camp, and I love this about camp because I've seen it in my own life, is the impact that camp can have on young people working there, and the impact it has on children who get to come and hear the gospel. We are in a unique situation and an awesome situation at camp in that we get to see so many kids come to camp for a week who have no connection to a church, no connection to Christian family or anything like that. It's just a camp that the parents want to send their kids to. And we get to present the gospel to these young boys and girls. We've had camps where upwards of 60% of the kids who are coming come from unchurched, unsaved homes. That is an awesome opportunity. And we love that that happens. And we love being able to present the gospel to young people in this way. Now, if that doesn't happen this summer, there will be boys and girls who look forward to camp every year. There will be staff who look forward to the discipleship they experience at camp every year who are going to be missing that this summer. And I'd ask for prayer that as an organization, we'd be able to maybe work through some ways in which we can still reach out into the lives of these young people. And also that other ministries and churches would really step up and provide opportunity for this to happen this summer. So those are the three things we'd appreciate prayer for wisdom, for finances, and that we would see opportunity in spreading the gospel this summer. And ultimately, we could be praying that we see this pandemic clear up and we get to run camp as usual this summer. That would be our ultimate desire. But again, we know that God is in control. So as I was thinking a couple of weeks ago about what I wanted to speak on this morning, I was sure of one thing. I hadn't really thought about a topic or a passage that I wanted to touch on, but I knew that, or at least at the time, I thought I knew that I didn't want to mention anything about COVID. 19. The reason being is everywhere you go, everywhere you look, we see news, we see old news presented new ways, we see new news about this pandemic. We see something else or some other organization that's impacted by this pandemic, and we see lives altered and in some tragic cases, lives ended by this disease, COVID-19. Fact is, it has taken a lot of our attention. A couple weeks ago, I felt pretty convicted at the fact that I found myself turning to online news sources and getting really caught up in following everything that's going on in the world, so much so that it started to even eat into my Bible reading time, the time I would put aside to spend in God's word. I'd get distracted. And I realized that far too easily we can get distracted by everything that's going around us. Recently, I was able to go to camp for a couple of days. We do some maple syrup there. So I was boiling down sap, and you know, you're kind of away from everything. You're away from technology. You don't have good service there or anything like that. And it gave me some time to think and reflect on the fact that there are some pretty valuable lessons, I think, to be learned from this. At least for me personally, there's been some really important things that have been highlighted. And I want to look at some of those things that have been highlighted for me, and I want to look at them in light of Philippians chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there, Philippians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 to 8, but I'll read from verse 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. So as I was reflecting on some lessons that can be learned through all that is going on today and reading scripture, I came across this passage, and three things stood out to me as things that I want to take away from this passage of scripture. The first is that I ought to be thankful. The second is we know as believers where our confidence is. And the third thing that I think is fairly important in times like these is we know that we are not alone. So we're going to look at those three points in light of Philippians chapter 1. But just before we do, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that we can gather together like this, God. There are many who maybe don't have the opportunity to be able to gather together in times like these. So we thank you for, as frustrating as it can be sometimes, the technology that enables us to do this. And we thank you that we can be together even virtually this morning. God, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, you would encourage us. God, you would teach us. You would give us open hearts and open ears to hear what you're saying to us here this morning. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So first, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for each other. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, and he starts by stating something that I think is so important for us as Christians, as the body of believers, as a church to remember. In verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Paul is thankful for these believers in Philippi. He's thankful for them because he says later in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Really, when you look at Philippians, part of the reason Paul writes this letter is to thank the church for their partnership. Later on in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, but I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. Later on, he says he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Later on in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Again, Paul is thankful for the partnership in the gospel that this church in Philippi has with him. Even when we look in Acts 16, when Paul visits Philippi for the first time, looking at the origin kind of the church in Philippi, it was a visit with difficulties. Paul was thrown into prison. He's beaten and flogged. But even through all of that, even through this experience he had, the church clearly continued to partner with him. And that's the beautiful thing about being part of the church. It's the beautiful thing about being part of this family of God. We are partnering in the mission of the gospel. At camp, when I was on summer staff, Brian, who was the director at the time, he pounded into us the mission statement. It was something that we were expected to know, and if we were asked, we needed to know it word for word. And we've continued that because it is important for us as an organization at camp that people know our mission statement. Now, if this was not just being streamed and it was easier to do, I would try to put Brian on the spot right now, but because turning the camera would obviously be pretty difficult if you saw the setup here, I'll just say Camp Oshpakoon exists to present the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the lives of children and adults through the camping experience. That is camp's mission statement. And one of the reasons I love camp so much, one of the things that I love about ABK so much, is the relationships that I have formed with individuals all across Northern Ontario through our unity and our bonding in that mission statement. When you go to camp, you know why you're there. You're there to present the claims of Christ. And in that unity, we see togetherness and community built. So many people who are so important in my life, I have met at camp. The most obvious would be my wife, Kathleen, my best man at my wedding I met at camp. There's countless people I look up to in their study of scripture, in the way they live, the way they live in their marriages, how they serve. And what I love about these friendships and these partnerships is as we all strive together to live for Christ, we encourage each other and we encourage each other in our walks with Jesus. And we need to remember as a church to be thankful for each other. Thankful for the church, thankful for the fact that we live in a place where we can publicly meet and publicly gather and proclaim the good news. And I think in times like these, where something is taken away from us, the ability to meet together on a Sunday morning has been taken away from us. Taken away from us for good reasons, but still it's not there. And I think in times of like those, when something is missing, you just become all the more thankful for it. We need to be thankful for each other, thankful for the different gifts and the different value people bring to the body of Christ. I think about camp and I think about some of the positions some people come and fill. Think, oh, I could never do that, but I could do this position. And you see that all over, not just in the ministry of camp, but all over the church, that people come and they fill these different roles. And together we are just an effective body of Christ. I was talking to somebody recently who mentioned that they believe sometimes in the church, we don't do a good enough job at verbally appreciating each other as we should. We sometimes get so caught up in the fear that, you know, we don't want to build up somebody's pride too much. We don't want to put glory in the wrong spot, that sometimes maybe we don't express the thankfulness that we have for one another. But we have to remember, as we see people living for Christ, as we see them fulfilling the gifts that God has given them, it is pointing glory to God by appreciating that person, by voicing our appreciation for those and showing our appreciation for those who are working so hard for the mission of the gospel. So the first thing that stuck out to me in reflecting on all of this and reflecting on this passage of scripture, seeing how Paul introduces the letter by saying, I thank my God every time I remember you, is the fact that I am thankful for the church. I am thankful for the relationships that I have built in the church and through camp ministry. And the fact that not only is it one body of believers in a particular geographical location that is the church, but this church spreads all across Northern Ontario, all across Canada, and ultimately all across the world. That is something to be thankful for. The second thing that I've been reflecting on is I know where my confidence is. And I know that we are in separate locations right now, but I think this deserves a resounding amen for the fact that as followers of Jesus, we know where our confidence is. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's found in Romans chapter 8. In the midst of sickness, in the midst of financial instability, in the midst of social disruption and employment uncertainty, we have this eternal confidence. Paul is confident here in verse 6. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul is confident here as he writes this letter that the good work, the gospel that was planted with his visits would continue to grow because God is faithful. I mentioned that when I was talking about what to pray for camp. Part of me wants to worry, but the other part of me realizes my confidence is in something far greater than anything that this world has to throw at us. I remember I was talking to somebody at camp last year about the difficulties we're seeing in running a ministry in a culture that maybe is less and less friendly towards Christian ministry. And this man who's been around camp for a long time, he said, you know, the good thing about working here is, you know, as long as God has a plan for camp, it will be around and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And that's so true. And it's a theme throughout the entire New Testament. You see people trying to discourage Christians. You see people trying to persecute the church. And worldly speaking, maybe they're successful, but they realize that the church has their hope in something far greater than anything they could ever throw at them. And our confidence, our hope is in something that is eternal. It is in Jesus Christ, who is raised from the dead, and he is coming back one day. Where so much of the world today is asking, how did we lose control? How can we gain it back? What can we do to control this situation? We as Christians can confidently say, you know, we were never in control. God is in control, and he continues to be in control. So the question I have for myself and anyone listening this morning is, where is our confidence? Is our confidence in the eternal God who is all powerful, who controls everything, who is sovereign, or is our confidence in the things of this world? I want to tell you about a news story I heard on the radio quite some time ago. And it was one of those times I was driving, I flipped through the channels, I landed on CBC, and it was an interview. And it was an interview of somebody who was working at the Calgary Aquarium at the time. And the headline or the topic of the interview was the fact that the aquarium was closing. And as part of their closing, they invited the public to be part of a big barbecue. And the story was simply that as the aquarium was closing, they felt it was the most cost-efficient way to get rid of the fish and other sea creatures by providing an open-pit barbecue. The man being interviewed said it provides people the rare experience to enjoy sea life that they wouldn't ever get to try. And as they were talking, he said, you know, you could come into the park, you could point to an aquarium, at a fish in an aquarium, they'll pull it out for you, they'll clean it out, and they'll grill it up for you right there. And then they played some comments of people, comments that people had on this story. And obviously this story, when people heard it, they were outraged. There were comments like, this is absolutely outrageous and disgusting. Another man commented, how are people getting away with this? Someone needs to call PETA. Another woman commented and said, I've never heard of anything quite so barbaric. And as I was listening to this article, it was very evident very quickly that this was some sort of satire, some sort of fake news. Not that I like using that expression, but it was some sort of false report. And as I looked it up, it was on a show called This Is That, which is all about these fake news stories that people listen to and they believe that they're true. They put their confidence in this reporting and then they call in and they record these calls, because really the funniest part of the show is listening to those who believed it and the reactions that they're having to these outrageous news articles. There was another one in there I listened to at one point that was, it was a city councillor of Montreal saying he wanted all dogs in Montreal to be bilingual. And again, people call in and they react in such ridiculous ways, and you realize they just don't have their confidence in the right things. Where is our confidence placed when it comes to the important things of this world? It ought to be in God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is speaking to the Israelite generation who has grown up in the desert after their ancestors rejected the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we won't read it for the sake of time, but you can turn there because it's one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. Because what you have is you have a scene where there's this new generation coming up. They're about to enter the promised land again. And Moses is recounting this history, saying, learn from these mistakes. And one of the things he says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is he says, you know, as you're enjoying the success that you're going to enjoy in the promised land, as your barns are full and your harvests are plenty, as you're enjoying wealth, be careful not to forget why you're here. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God. Remember, he is the giver of all good gifts. It says in verse 17 in Deuteronomy chapter 8, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Remember where our confidence ought to be. It shouldn't be in ourselves. It has to be in God. Third thing that I want to mention this morning is the fact that we know we are not alone. And we know that we're never alone, that God never leaves us or forsakes us. But I want to focus on another reason this morning we know we're not alone. Paul here in his introduction to this letter says this, it is right for me to, or sorry, we'll go back one verse, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. We get this glimpse of the togetherness, of the unity that Paul feels with this church in Philippi. Even as he is in chains, even as he is imprisoned for this gospel, he feels this togetherness with the church in Philippi. And I think one of the silver linings in this whole pandemic crisis is that we, or at least I, have grown so much more appreciative of relationships that I have formed with Christian brothers and sisters who right now I can't easily see. I think I speak for hopefully the majority watching this stream this morning and dozens like it across Northern Ontario, that we miss the fellowship of this place. We miss coming together and catching up with each other week after week. We miss coming together and enjoying a cup of coffee and talking about, you know, what's going on and just even seeing each other and being together. But I also think it's important to realize that this place, the building, isn't what church is about. Church is about the togetherness, the partnership we have in the global mission of the gospel. It's about us striving together to be like Jesus. And that togetherness, that unity shouldn't fade, even though we don't get to meet weekly together. And my encouragement for myself and for each watching this morning is reach out to those who are part of the church here at IBC. Reach out to Christian brothers and sisters you know in maybe who go to different churches or in different parts of the country or even the world. Remind them that they are not alone, that we are all still unified by our belief and our drive and determination to live out the mission of the gospel here on this earth. We need to remember to be here for each other, to reach out to one another and remember that we are not alone. One thing that this has really given me a new appreciation for is what Christians around the world who are unable to meet regularly or publicly, what kind of struggles there are in countries like that. And I'm not at all comparing what's going on here to the persecution that goes around the world. But it really makes you appreciative of the fact that we do get to meet openly and publicly and freely. And it also makes me more aware of the prayer that is needed for brothers and sisters around the world who maybe don't have that opportunity, who maybe do sometimes feel like they are alone. And as a church here that enjoys this freedom, I think it is our responsibility to be supporting and praying for those people around the world who maybe don't have that opportunity. So through this week, as a church, let's focus on building each other up from a distance for now. Pray for one another, reach out to one another. Remember to show appreciation for one another, encourage one another. Remember, we don't need a building to meet in to be a church. We are a church just because we are believers and Christ is still the head of the church and he is still in control. So those are some things that I've been able to reflect on. And I trust too that we take this time, where life is definitely a little bit slower, and we remember to spend more of that time in God's word, letting him speak to us through it. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you for this passage in Philippians where we see very clearly Paul's thankfulness and the unity he has with these people, this church in Philippi, and the fact that God, he is not alone in or he wasn't alone in his struggle, and neither are we. And God, I thank you that as a church, God, we can continue to build each other up. God, I thank you that we can look to you and know that you are in control. And God, I would pray that this would be a time where we would step up as a church. To build up the body and for others to see the love that we have for one another, even through situations like this. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Ryan. We really appreciate you coming. That was a great, encouraging message of hope for us. Just want to encourage you, if you're listening this morning, if you're a part of Island Bible Chapel, you call us your church home, or you are a believer who tuned in this morning because you know and love Ryan, or you love the work that's going on through the chapels here in Northern Ontario, I would just want to encourage you to share this video around with you on your social media accounts. Let's get this message out to a wider audience, the hope that we have in Christ. Once more, do want to just thank you for tuning in. Quickly, a couple of announcements here before we end. We'll end with our announcements too. Just to remind you, Wednesday is our prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. And normally our youth group meets by Zoom on Friday nights from 7 to 9, but that's not happening this week. So Central Algoma Youth Group, we're tuning into the Spring Folly live stream. That will be live streamed on Spring Folly's YouTube page from 7 to 9. And finally, just a reminder for where you can go to find out how to continue to give your tithes and offerings. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.